And we'll have our Bible reading now for this morning, and Pam is going to come and read for us. Thank you.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. I wonder if you would describe yourself as a confident person. Some of you said not me. I guess it might depend on what circumstances are, who you're with, what that sort of context is. Sometimes you may feel confident, other times not. But I'm sure you've met people who are super confident. Nothing seems to shake them or trouble them. They take the good with the bad, if you like, the ups and the downs, and just treat them the same. Nothing seems to faze them. They're just confident people. Have you ever met someone like that? It might be you, I don't know. but there are people, aren't they? How do we get confidence? Now, of course, we don't like overconfidence. We have a problem with people who are overconfident. And it made me think about, I don't know if anybody's watched The Apprentice on television. Let me try and explain The Apprentice. It's a group of people, usually about a dozen people, young people in their 20s and 30s, who are very motivated people, who are very business orientated, and they come together and they're given various tasks week by week, and then they have to go into a boardroom and explain what they've done, and every task they have to try to gain a profit, so that they're sent out to, go and sell fish at the market or something. And they've got to come back, and the team that has the biggest profit, they're safe, but the team that has the least profit, they're scrutinized in a boardroom, and one person is eliminated. The prize at the end is to get a lucrative job with Sir Lord Sugar. And when these people are interviewed at the beginning, they are so confident. they can do almost anything. They, you know, they, I've done this, I can do this. There's nothing that seems you feel they cannot do at the beginning. And then when they're given a task, you see them floundering very often, arguing, not pulling their weight, and all sorts of things, and just feeling out of their depth, not knowing what to do. So we recognize there's a problem with self-confidence and being overconfident. But I would imagine most of us would like to be a bit more confident than what we are. Psalm 27 begins with these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The psalmist, David here, seems to have a great confidence. You know, nothing's going to make him afraid. Nothing is not going to be afraid of anything. And he goes on, I mean, that's the tone of the whole psalm. But he goes on, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. I remain confident of this, he says. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I find it quite remarkable. You know, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me. I mean, that is a life-threatening situation. Even then, I will be confident. Now, how do we get that kind of confidence? You know, for many of us, we are rattled and shaken and troubled very often by what we might even refer to as minor things. Certainly not being besieged by an army. Certainly not life-threatening situations. And yet here's David saying, I will be confident in the face of a besieging army. Well, that's some confidence. Now, it's very easy, I think, to note that David is not speaking about self-confidence. You know, it's not an arrogance, it's not, I'll be all right, I can handle this. You know, I'm big enough, I'm strong enough. It's in the Lord, isn't it? His confidence is in the Lord. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. So I won't be afraid. Or so I will be confident. Confident not in himself, but in God. As his strength, as his stronghold, as his security. As the one who will hold him and keep him and be with him. No matter what. That's quite a confidence that David has. Do we share that confidence? When things go the way we would rather they didn't, that things happen, you know, and are we confident in God to cast out the anxiety and the worry and the fear? How do we grow in that kind of confidence? The kind of confidence that David is speaking about here. How do we develop it? How do we grow into it? Well, I think the answer comes to us in verse 4. David says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. So David's confidence in God can be boiled down, really, to one thing. One thing. One thing only. Now, the very idea of one thing probably, you know, rubs against us a little bit today, because we like to do many things, don't we? We don't like just one thing. One thing? You know, we like to multitask. We like to be doing many, many things at the same time. How many of you watch television while you're scrolling on your phone? Quite a few of you, apparently. Or read the newspaper and there's music or the radio in the background. Or how many of you just can't even go to the bathroom without taking a book or a magazine? You know who you are. One thing, we struggle with one thing. We feel we've always got to have more than one thing going on. David said, only one thing is needed, only one thing. Could we be committed to one thing as we go through this new year? What was the one thing? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Well, there's our answer. The one thing is, come and live in the church all the days of your life. Fancy that? It's not really the answer, is it? Probably quite cold as well, if you were to come and live in the church. David's talking about the temple. And when David talks about the temple, he's really talking about the presence of God. That he wants his life to be continually in God's presence. So it's not about living in the church. Of course, coming to church is important. It's important that we fellowship together, that we worship together, that we hear God's word together and respond to that. But that's only part of being in God's presence. Now, God's interested in the whole of our lives, whether it's our work, our marriage, our recreation, school, wherever it is and wherever we are, God wants to be present. Now, it seemed to me that the more we cultivate that, a sense of God is with me in the ordinary things of life, well, then he's not just going to depart from me when, you know, when some adversity comes my way. He's not going to run, is he? So if we're conscious of God's presence in the everyday of our lives, our relationships, our friendships, our activities, if we're conscious God is there with me, then we can be confident he'll always be with us. One thing, David says, just one thing, not two things, not three things, one thing. One thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, the temple David's thinking about. But that's God's presence. All the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. I guess that's my word to us as we go into a new year, that we might grow in confidence, not in ourselves, on our own ability, our own cleverness, on our own experience, good as all that those things can be, but we might be confident in the God who loves us, the God who has called us, the God who knows us, the God who has promised to never leave us. because hardships will come, setbacks will come. Things won't always go as we would like. But that doesn't mean to say God's somehow no longer there. If David could be confident in the Lord in the face of a besieging army and not be afraid, it's not that he's living in cloud cuckoo land, he's not oblivious to the reality, but there's a higher reality for David, a greater reality. That is his God is with him. And so he remains confident, whatever the outcome would be in that situation. So let's go into this new year confident in God and allow God to work out his purposes through us who are very weak and vulnerable, but we're just following Jesus and allowing him and his presence to be the difference. Let's say together, let us look for Christ wherever we go. Let us never stop seeking, believing that he is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of our Heavenly Father, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of Christ be with us all this new year and evermore. Amen.